My parents already had three healthy children, and they couldn't afford to have any more. So they asked her OB physician to place an intrauterine device, also referred to as an IUD, which at that time was effective more than 98% of the time. But my mother conceived anyway, and several weeks later she ended up having a miscarriage. Now, I might be giving up my age a little bit, but they didn't have ultrasound yet, and there was no way the doctor could have known that mom was still pregnant. I was that other twin still inside her womb. So the doctor, as was customary during those days, used forceps to reach in and pull out the IUD, and then he reached back in to pull out any birth material he could. Now, to just give you a perspective, the average uterus is only about 3 inches long, or 8 centimeters. And at that stage of mom's pregnancy, between 6 and 8 weeks, I was at least a third, perhaps up to a half of the length of the total size of her uterus. So there's just no way I had anywhere to hide. After that, the doctor gave my mother 5 days of Methergen. And Methergen is a drug that makes the uterus contract and push out all the remaining birth material to minimize bleeding and risk of infection. It was also used as an early stage abortion drug during those days. But when her stomach kept growing, there was only one doctor out of 5 that thought it might be a pregnancy. 4 of the doctors thought it was either a molar pregnancy, cancer of some sort, or an ectopic pregnancy. And so mom, as would be normal for anyone, wanted to have surgery to have that growth removed, because no doubt it was most likely dangerous and ugly for her own health. But her OB doctor, for some strange reason, believed that it might be a baby. And so he encouraged mom to wait. And at 4.5 months, my mother tells me she'll never forget the moment when the doctor put the stethoscope on her belly and heard the heartbeat, my heartbeat, for the first time. She said his legs collapsed and he fell down into a chair next to the exam table out of shock. Recently, I received an email from my mom's OB doctor, who's now retired. I had never met him before, and he recounted many details from my story. At the end of the email, he says, "I was chief of OB at LA County Hospital, and I was responsible for overseeing more than 300,000 baby deliveries. I remember many details about your story," and he finally said, "Your story remains unique." My favorite psalm is Psalm 139. It's the passage I go to that centers me when I feel off balance from the stress of life, when the stress threatens to redefine my sense of reality. This chapter brings me back to my roots. It reminds me that my Creator is crazy about me, no matter where I've been or what I've done. It reminds me that He has been and always will be my best friend, my provider, and my defender. I'm going to recite most of Psalm 139 now from the English Standard Version. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along with me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. For the night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wondrous are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Verse 13 says, you covered me in my mother's womb. Well, that's the New King James Version. It makes more sense to me than the English Standard Version, which says, you knitted me together. Because you see, the Hebrew word there for cover literally means to defend, to shut in, to build a fence, and my personal favorite, to stop the approach. Because medically speaking, it's impossible that I should be alive today. And even if I was alive, I should be missing arms, legs, fingers, or toes. My life story testifies that God is our defender. Our series for camp meeting is entitled Recite Your Story. Over the last 2 years, I've become addicted to memorizing the scriptures. I like to tell people that I've discovered the only healthy addiction. But as I've walked on this journey, I've come to recognize that the Bible stories are no longer just historical accounts from the ancient past. These people become my people, and their stories become my stories. And when you invest yourself in the words of Scripture, they actually become part of your DNA. And I've come to understand that my story and your story, they're really extensions, a sequel, if you will, to the great book. It's really quite amazing to me to know that our stories flow from the same author, the Alpha and the Omega of history. Now you might say, well, I already know how the stories end. It's really hard for me to enter into the drama. Or some other people might think, but their cultures were so different from ours. I really can't relate. But the problems of humanity transcend culture and time. And I promise you that even if you've read a passage hundreds of times, there are details, I promise you, God will show you that you never would have seen otherwise. And it will change you. These details will change your life. Now, there are many advantages to memorizing Scripture, but I'd like to just suggest a few. Number one, we gain practical wisdom to know how to live and how to plan for the future. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number two, We gain moral clarity in the battle against sin. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Number three, we gain strength to persevere through hard times. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And more importantly, most importantly, is item four, and that is that the Word is not just a book of history, we find. We find that it's more than just a book of wisdom. It's more than just a book of prophecy. But we find that the Word is a person. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." John 1, verses 1 through 4. One of the reasons I believe God brought me here is that He wants you to believe and really embrace the reality that your life is just as important to Him as any life we read about in the Bible. How can we know that? Verse 16 in Psalm 139 says, "In your book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." That's an astounding thought to me. God planned my life and yours from eternity past. He knew you so long ago, and He couldn't wait for this time in history when you, the only person just like you He ever created in history, would live and breathe and work and love in your own unique way. I've had the privilege to produce documentary films for several years. And before that, I was a TV talk show host for a show called Hope on Fire, which airs on the Hope Channel. But I didn't take broadcasting or film production in college. I actually got a management and an accounting degree from Southern Adventist University, and later got a master's degree in business. But God knew my heart, and through a series of providential circumstances, I'm certain that He called me to leave my business career to do what I love the most. It's never been easy to do this work. I confess I made a whole lot more money working in the corporate system, getting that magical direct deposit in my bank account every 2 weeks. But sometimes you just have to follow your passion, even if the road is hard. And I promise you, listen, if God created a passion in your heart to serve Him in a specific way, He will provide for you and He will defend you. My aunt called me from California recently. She said she had seen an episode on television on Hope Channel of Hope on Fire. And she was giggling as she recalled how it reminded her of me as a four-year-old. And so I asked her, "Why is that?" And she said, "Well, you were the one going around interviewing everyone in the room, holding a hairbrush, pretending to be a talk show host." I'm sure God knew then what I would become. But more than being a talk show host, I found I enjoyed the process of film production even more because of the depth you go in producing the stories. And you know what? Some of the people I've worked with in these films have become some of my closest and dearest friends. I mean, they don't just come into the studio for 30 minutes and then go home. They're actually inviting me to come into their home and into their businesses, into their private life. And we become like family. It's a sacred thing to me. In the book Ministry of Healing, page 498, E.G. White makes this very interesting insight. She says, "None should consent to be mere machines run by another man's mind. Stand in your own God-given personality. Be, know, other person's shadow. Expect that God will work in you and through you. That's amazing. Be no other person's shadow. Psalm 139 verse 5 says, "You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me." This "hem me in" phrase means literally that God defends me by enclosing Himself around me. It also means He confines me to certain boundaries. I had taken my car in to get new brakes put on. I was on my way down to see my parents for the weekend. It's about a 3-hour drive from Orlando. You see, my mom is a choir director, and she was having her final musical event before retiring. So it was one of those events a son just doesn't miss. You know what I'm saying? So I picked up my car from the mechanic's garage, and I started down the highway. And after enjoying the concert on Sunday, I drove back in the evening during the night to Orlando. And I confess to you, I was driving faster than I should have. I was trying to get back to Orlando before too late. And on some of these back two-lane roads, I was speeding, passing quite a few cars on the way home. And the next day, I'm driving back to my office in town, and I may be going 15K, 20K when I'm turning into the parking lot. And suddenly, my right front wheel just breaks right off of the frame of the car, and the frame underneath just thuds to the ground. And I'm sitting there on the concrete on the sidewalk, just off the road. I call the mechanic and I say, "Yo, dude, my right front wheel is just kind of over there somewhere." You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting on the ground. And I later found out that the mechanic forgot to put that little cotter pin in through the bolt that keeps the screw from coming off. That bolt is pretty important because it keeps the axle and the wheel connected. And when that screw was working its way off all weekend long, it very well could have come off while I was driving fast the night before. But for some reason, God didn't allow it to come off, except when I was driving very, very slow. Simply put, God is my defender. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." Precious thoughts, tender, compassionate thoughts. And I turn my face to God and I ask Him, "Really?" And His word answers, "Yes, really." Because you see, God doesn't just love you. God really, really likes you. This is vital truth to hold close to your heart, especially when you're going through hard times. During Camp Mania, I'll share many miracles and experiences of mountaintop that I've seen blessings from God, but my life hasn't been without difficulties and heartaches. Several years ago, I went through a very painful divorce. And even in that desolate wilderness, I can testify that God's tenderness was closest to me during that time. I learned that nothing is lost in God's economy. Every experience can teach us and draw us closer to our defender. In the book Desire of Ages, page 348, E.G. White says, "There is greater encouragement in the least blessing we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts of the faith and experience we can read of others." God calls us to bear witness to what we have known of His grace. This is the witness the world is dying to hear. The theme of our series is recite your story. You may not feel you have very much to share. You may not have memorized more of the scripture than John 3:16. You may not feel your life is epic Hollywood material. In fact, you may not feel that it's anything more than average everyday stuff. But when you begin to recognize how precious you are in God's eyes, you see in yourself a person of great worth. And why is that? Because even the world knows that you're nobody until somebody loves you. It's not something we ever get arrogant about, but it compels us to tell the world about our amazing Father, the one who defends us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love, for your compassionate tenderness in providing and defending us in life. And I pray for each person here that they will see a vision of Jesus rising up like a mountain before them and experience him like never before. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.